Racing on a Wednesday, a midweek meeting at Sale today. Looking forward to the program. We're on a soft seven, and the rail is true for the entire circuit. A little bit overcast, the weather in Sale, but where we are, it's looking nice and fine, so hopefully there'll be no rain throughout the day. And Dean Lester joins us to find all the winners. How are you, Dino?
Yeah, I'm well, thanks, Michael.
How's the card look to your eye?
Looks okay. It'll be interesting to see how the track plays. Rail back in the true position. It was 7 metres at the last meeting, and they headed all across the track. So I would think that that inside ground should be relatively fresh and might be where they play through the day.
Could be a big day for Patrick Payne as well. And if I was to ask you, who would you think is one of, if not the most informed jockey in Victoria, who would it be?
Well, it would be his rider, Billy Egan.
Gee, thank God you said Billy Egan, because he joins us now. How are you, Billy?
Good, thanks, fellas. How are you?
Very well indeed. You are riding in sparkling form. Is this the best you've ever ridden at the moment, Billy?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely getting on the best cattle I've probably ever getting on, so showing through into my form.
Is that the difference, you think, that previously you may not have been able to get on those really good horses, and with your confidence in the better horses, everyone's seeing what you can do?
Yeah, good horses make good jockeys, so it's them doing all the work and got me going.
Well, Patrick Payne's flying as well. What's it like working so closely with Patrick?
Yeah, it's great. It's a great learning curve for me. I think even if I wasn't to be riding all these winners for him and getting rides off him, I think I'd still be able to walk away saying it's been a great experience just from learning off him.
Well, you've got a really good book with Patrick today. Let's kick off the day in race one with an interesting runner, Cherry Tortini, having its first run. You've drawn a little wide, first time to the track. Only had one trial, which, not unusual for Patrick's horses, basically just followed them around. How good is Cherry Tortini?
Yeah, he's got good natural ability. Whatever he does, he'll improve on. He's just a slowly sort of maturing type. But, like I said, he's got good natural ability. He'll run a good race today, and whatever he does, he'll improve on.
Okay, can he win his first time at the track over 1,200? He's currently 650.
Yeah, it'll probably just depend on how good the others are, I'd say.
That is the best answer I've ever received when I've asked someone whether the horse can win. Race number three, Jappery. Now, this is a horse that has got a bit of a spruik about it. What do you make of its run first up?
Yeah, his first up run was real good. He can just be his own worst enemy, but I think today he's as ready to go as he'll probably ever be to break his maiden. So if he does everything right himself, I think he'll be pretty close to the finish.
All right, well, he's second favourite at $4 in that race. Your next ride is a horse called No Joy, goes around in race number seven. The market for No Joy, it's favourite at $3.60, and it has been very well back this morning.
First time out of the mile, it's drawn in. It'll probably just want all the favours, and I'd say if it just has a nice run and gets all the favours, it will be there in the finish, but I wouldn't be expecting too much.
Okay, and Streak Tough is your last of your rides. It's another favourite, but it's $5. It's an open race. What are your expectations for Streak Tough?
Yeah, I probably was a bit confident on him that last start. Thought he'd just win, and he got rolled. So hopefully he does the job today. He's got good soft form, gets out to the 14th for the first time. If he has a nice run, sort of without doing any work as well, hopefully he's in the finish and just can go one better this time.
Have you been riding him working between runs? Has he improved, do you think?
He's pretty up and going. I'd say he's just at a stage now where he's just ticking over now.
All right, Billy, who's your best of the day?
I'd say Cherry Tortini would probably be the best horse to come out of the meeting that I ride today.
All right, that's a good push for the first starter, who is in the famous Tie the Knot colours, goes around in race number one, Cherry Tortini. Good luck today, Billy.
No, cheers, fellas. Have a good day.
He's got a good book today, Dean, and he goes into the RSN Hall of Fame as the best answer. Can your horse win today? It depends how good the others are.
Yeah, he gave us the most obvious answer, but I think the last part of what he said was the most interesting, that he'll be the best horse to come out of the meeting that he rides today. So I think he might be the best horse in the race. So we'll see how he goes.
All right. Does that mean you're tipping him in the first? We take out 1, 14, 15, 16. I am Mademoiselle's the favourite at 4.40 from Cherry Tortini, which is a $6 chance.
Yeah, I am. It goes well. As you mentioned, he's had one official trial, but he's had 5 jump outs, so he's very well educated. He's strong at the end of his jump outs. He was scratched twice from last week, and obviously just trying to find the right race, and I think 1,200 against his own age group is probably the race tip for Cherry Tortoni, and I think he'll run very well. Another one that I think will run well on debut is 12 Mystique Falcon for the Ma Eustace stable. This filly just looks strong in her jump outs. She was quietly ridden at Sandown, but looked as though 1,200 would really be up her alley, and I think she's the main danger of the couple that have raced. I Am Mademoiselle, certainly the pick of those, and has trialled up well for the resumption to racing, and 11 Misconduct, whose 2 recent jump outs would suggest that 1,200 on debut will suit. But I'll be playing the race around the debutants in numbers 3 and 12. 3, 12, 6 and 11.
All right, bit of value in the first, with the 3 and the 12, the first starters. Dino's tipped in what will be an interesting first race at Sale today. Race number 2, we can take out 1, 2 and 15. Not for Izzy is the favourite at $2.10, 2.40 into 2.10 this morning. Paris Pike is at 4.20 and Darcy Eccles at $6. Not for Izzy's just had the 3 starts for 2 seconds. Does it break through today?
I think it does, Michael. The run last start was very good. He ran into a pretty smart horse in Blue Ocean, who then went to Flemington on Saturday and was a tremendous run. So trusting that form, good draw, Craig Williams takes over. I think that's about his right price, around the $2, $2.10 mark. I think he's the one to beat. Paris Pike is at least on the up. He's gelded after his last preparation. His first up run was quite good. Frankie Fiorente is going really well, number 4, but it is his 7th run for the preparation, so you can't imagine that he's going to improve at this stage of the campaign and from a wide draw. And 6 International Gem may be next best. I think he's got quite a tail to it, this race, and pretty keen that Not For Izzy will win. 9, 10, 4 and 6.
9, 10, 4 and 6 in the second race. Number 3, take out 4, 12, 15, 16 and 17. Hummelong is the favourite, even money favourite, very firm. Opened up 250 into even money now. First up this campaign for Johnny McCardle. Jappery, we heard Billy Egan's thoughts on this. Galloper is the second pick at $4. And a first starter from the Kieran Maher Dave Eustace camp is on the third line of betting Jazzles at 5.50. Who do you like in the third, Dean?
Yeah, they're certainly the main chances, Michael, but I've probably got 2 main prospects, and that's Hummelong, who's doing just that at the trials, has had 2 recent jump outs. It's been going well in fast jump outs and looks just ready to win first up, so I'm with 7, but I respect the first starter of the Ma Eustace team in Jazzles, has had 3 jump outs, looks to go very nicely, he's drawn for a lovely run. Japery, number 11, as mentioned, can do a bit wrong, but ran well first up, and I think this will be run at a good speed, which will probably suit, and 9 next best, Sequalis, who's going to win a share of races, just runs into a pretty handy maiden here next best. 7, 8, 11 and 9.
7, 8, 11 and 9. In race number 4, Beauty Supreme is the favourite. We can take out 3. Beauty Supreme, 3.40. Washua is at $4. Beatrix, $5. With Edge is at $6. There's a few in contention here, and there's a few in good form, Dean. Who do you like?
Yeah, I think Beauty Supreme's the starting point, though, Michael. Ran well first up at Caulfield. That was behind High Stranger. And High Stranger backed that up with a really good run again on Saturday behind Rocabascarana. So trusting that form, I think Beauty Supreme, the 2 runs at 1,000 metres have probably been his 2 best runs, so this might be his go for the time being. Moishwar probably should have won at Sale. The rider dropped the rein at a crucial stage and just lost his momentum as much as anything. 5 With Edge hasn't raced for about 10 weeks, and I couldn't find a recent jump out for him, but he's a maiden with talent and certainly could run well fresh. And 8 Paris, back or now with Peter Moody, he's always owned her, but resumes jump out of Pakenham, was ridden along but went okay. The key here is she does like soft ground, might be next best, but Beauty Supreme's the one to beat. 2, 1, 5 and 8.
2, 1, 5, and 8 in the fourth. Four races down. We'll take a quick break when we come back.
RSN 927's Racing Polls, the Victorian Form Preview.
Welcome back to the Victorian Form Preview, looking at Sale with Dean Lester. We're up to race number 5, which is the first leg of the quaddie. It's a good little race. We may have lost Master Montaro, but there's some nice horses at the top of the market. Take out 4, 5, and 9. Lakes Folly, who was brilliant first up for Anthony Friedman, is the favourite at $2.30. Right Enough is the second favourite at $3. And we're out to Great Bratsky at $4.40. And they dominate the market. Dean, an intriguing race. Which way did you lean?
Yeah, it is, Michael. I think the key to the day for this race is how the day's panning out. Lakes Folly was probably on that day at Sale last time the first to get out wide and got onto the good ground and really ripped home to win. It's got the similar draw here, but might be a different scenario with the Rabak True. I just want to see a little bit of evidence of being able to run on before I took the $2.30. If you have seen a bit of run on through the day, happy to think that he'll win again. That's the little query, though, at this stage of the morning. 3, Red Maestro, is going really well, as are most of the Luke Oliver horses at the moment. He's drawn for the lovely cheap run. This is harder, but I think he's going well. And certainly chances to 7, Right Enough, who keeps running well, but she still hasn't won since that debut win a couple of years ago at the Warrnambool Carnival. And 8, the Great Bratsky, who ran well first up. It's on a fairly quick backup, but got terrific record at Sale, terrific record at the trip, and loves soft ground, is well and truly in the mix, and gets Craig Williams to ride. Yeah, as you said, a pretty intriguing race. 2, 3, 7, and 8.
2, 3, 7, and 8 in the first leg of the quaddie for Dino. The second leg, take out 1, 8, 10, 16, 17, and 18. Big Brew, Craig Williams on board for Mark Kavanagh's the favourite at $2.50. Miss Harriet, $6.50, set us free at $7. So it's a pronounced favourite, Big Brew. Do you see it as the one to beat?
Look, I've got him down as the hardest to beat, but gee, this is a. I just think this is a tricky race because you've got Big Brew, who is down in grade, but essentially I don't think his last run was his best. Go back 2 runs back in the Vobis Gold Heath, and that run to Sentimentalist and Mr. Quickie will win this race. But he's 6 runs into a prep. Is he still at his best? That's the query. But he's drawn for a cheap run. I'm leaning his way. Also, I've got a small involvement in his number 7, Lord Lennox, and I thought he went a lot better last week at Moe, and he was bought from France with these sort of distances in mind, and he gets there for the first time since we've had him in Australia, and I think he'll run well. 9, Miss Harriet. I think if the ground was a little bit better than a soft 7, I'd be pretty keen on her. I just worry about her with the sting out of the ground, but she stays quite well. And 6, Pharrell. He's got a really interesting stat. He's had 2 goes at 2,200. They've both been at Sale, and he's won both of them. So he's had the 3 runs in. He's getting up to that trip. So he's going to be, I think, suited here and somewhere in the finish. But, yeah, pluses and minuses on all top 4 chances here, and that makes it a tricky race. 4, 7, 9, and 6.
4, 7, 9, and 6. I didn't realise you're in Lord Lennox. That's an interesting ambition to bring him over here, and being by the sire Maxios, who's got a couple of nice horses as well.
Yeah, look, Michael, he was a horse that, watching the 3-year-olds in Europe, he was only a maiden, but he was getting beaten by subsequent Group 2 winners and running well. And, he was purchased getting on for nearly 2 years ago now, and he won his maiden at Geelong. Had a little injury after that, and we took that opportunity also to geld him. So it's taken a little while for him to hit form, but I think his last run was really encouraging.
Good luck today, Dino. Race number 7 is the next event. We can take out 1, 4, and 5. No Joy is the favourite. And interesting, Billy Egan didn't really pump it up too much with his comments earlier at $3.60. Blender's Edition at $3.70, and then Into Rio at $4.80. So, look, he wasn't carried away with his favourite, No Joy. What are your thoughts?
Damn, I'm grabbing for a pen to change my numbers, Michael. I thought she was the one to beat. Does go to 1600 for the first time, but I thought she was probably in the worst ground last start and ran quite well. And I just thought from barrier 1, getting a cheap run, she'd get all the favours and had as good a chance as any. But yeah, tempered my enthusiasm a little bit. 3, Blender's Edition, I think, is not far off a win. He's had the 2 runs back for Rob Higmont, and he's ticking over okay. And very His soft track figures are very good. Last start, I think things went a little bit wrong with the saddle moving and things like that. Two into Rio. My little query on him would have been a genuine soft ground, but this might be an improving track, and his first up run was quite good, as he always seems to perform early in the preparation. And nine, Herman's Bells, who keeps running, you know, really respectable races, but just hasn't been able to break through for a bit over a year, but might be next best. 10, 3, 2 and 9.
10, 3, 2 and 9 in the 7th. The last race, number 8, due to jump at 4.30. We can take out the 12, and it's a tough way to finish. Street Tough is the favourite, but it's $5 the field, equal favourite with Vicky or Vici. Then we go down to Miraku at $5.50 as well. How many do we need in the last leg of the quaddie, Dino?
Yeah, I'm going to put 5 in, Michael, and they start with Street Tough. It was an interesting comment of Billy Egan's to say he rode it a little bit too confidently last start, and he just got nabbed on the line. I think from the draw gets a lovely run, and you would think third up from a spell, peak fitness, and first go at 1,400 metres, but I would think that won't be an issue, and I think can run well. 9, Miraku, was a good run at Cranbourne last start and is building to form and drops out just a little bit in weight, and I think will be very competitive again. 6, Deep Euphoria, hasn't won for nearly a year, but I thought it was a really good run at Sandown to Taxu last start. You know, loomed into the race quickly and probably just peaked on that run, but was asked to do a bit from a fair way out, so it was a good run. And Toosby's getting fitter, another one that's not a regular winner by any means, but ran well at Cranbourne. Again at Sandown, ran quite well in a leader sort of race. I think we'll be fitter again next best, but as you mentioned, a pretty tough finish to the program. 3, 9, 6 and 4.
All right, Dino, how do we make a dollar today?
Yeah, I like early in the day, Michael. Best is race 2, number 9, and that is Not for Izzy. The best value at around that $6 is the first. Race 1, number 3, Cherry Tortoni. For the quaddy, first leg 2, 3, 7, 8. Second leg 4, 6, 7, 9. Third leg 2, 3, 9, 10. And come home on 3, 4, 6, 9 and 10. Pretty keen on those races 2 and 3 with regard to maybe the running double, just number 9, Not Frizzy in the first leg, and numbers 7 and 8, Humalong and Jazzles in the second leg.
Ah, beautiful. Dean, a question without notice. I know you've been listening to all the discussion and debate over the last couple of days, and as a respected racing man, what are your thoughts about the proposed changes to the Spring Carnival?
Look, I can understand it. As a one-off, I don't think it'd be that, though. If it changed, it might change for a fair while. I wonder if, looking at it, you know, I mean, I'm going left field another way. If we should have maybe the Caulfield Cup back a week to Caulfield Guineas Day, and that'd make it 2 weeks to the Cox Plate and then into the Melbourne Cup, I'd sort of maybe change it the other way if we're going to change it for a year and swap a few days around, and I think even that could work, because it'd be second semi-final weekend, so Caulfield Cup would still get plenty of air, and it would give that, you know, we've spoken of horses running in all three races, it might be able to be done that way.
I know you do a lot of programming and form analysis. Do you think the projected carnival and all the changes, even Michael Brown saying about they might take that vacant Caulfield Cup carnival, how do you see the pattern progressing?
Yeah, that makes it a little bit tricky, how it all works out. If I was doing it, as I said, I'd move the Caulfield Cup back a week, and then on that Caulfield Cup day, in essence, I'd have the races like the Toorak, which would then be 2 weeks into the Cantala, the Blue Sapphire, which would be 2 weeks into the Coolmore, and have them as your feature races, and go from there. There's a vacancy there for Moonee Valley, for them to have consecutive Saturdays rather than the Friday night Saturday backup for their track, I think would be, I'm thinking of the track as much as anything, I think that would be the biggest winner for Moonee Valley.
And would you like the day grand final or the day Cox played into a night grand final?
Either or. I'd like to see either one of the events have a go at night, and so whichever one takes up that option, I'd be excited to see it.
Dino, always interesting to get your thoughts. Good luck today.
Terrific. Thanks, Michael.
Dean